All right, and welcome to another episode of U.S. Paranormal. I'm your host, Jaron Jones, and with me tonight is Lisa, who will be jumping in. Lisa, are you there? Okay, maybe she's not in
I
yet.
Will be, but in about 5-10 minutes.
All righty. Well, tonight's episode is, have you ever experienced a time when you're sleeping and you wake up and you can't move? Your whole body is there. You feel it. You're conscious, but you can't move. Your arms don't work. Your legs don't work. All you can do is move your eyes. Well, this, my friends, is called sleep paralysis, and this apparently occurs in almost everybody at some point in their life. So, what is it? What is this sleep paralysis? Can it be explained by medicine? Is it demons or ghosts or something holding you in the bed? Is it astral projection, where the body is without its soul and it's waiting for the soul to return from its journey? What is sleep paralysis? Well, if you want to call in and give us some insight, if you've ever experienced this, or if you know someone who has, or you have information on it, and you just want to share with us, I open my caller switchboard to you. The number is 515-605-9328. Again, that's 515-605-9328. Feel free to call in, give us your input, tell us your experiences, or those that you know. So let's jump right in. I'm going to give the actual scientific explanation to what sleep paralysis is, and then we'll talk about some myths and legends and some scary ghosts and things that people think it might actually be. But let's talk about the real science behind it, the medicine behind it. So sleep paralysis is known as hypnopompic sleep. That's hypnopompic sleep. So this occurs when a person is waking up. They wake up and they're completely conscious, but they can't move. All the muscles in their body are completely paralyzed. So it's most common that we've found in research, it's somewhat connected to genetics and sleep deprivation. So, and it's also been connected with conditions such as narcolepsy, migraines, anxiety disorders, extreme trauma. People experience this sleep paralysis after occurring one of these things, most commonly. So the other part of that is that people who sleep in a fixed supine position, so they sleep on their backs, they seem to be at an increased chance of experiencing some form of sleep paralysis, right? So what is it? What is sleep paralysis? So it's the underlying mechanism, or it's believed to be the underlying mechanism as a result from disrupted REM sleep. And REM sleep is rapid eye movement, okay? That's that REM. So that rapid eye movement, it's a disruption there. And where there should be general inability to move muscles to prevent the sleeper from actually acting out what's in their dreams, the REM, the brain, sends out impulses to really paralyze those muscles so that we don't, like, jump out of our beds and punch people or kick people, which does occur. So this form of paralysis the brain does, they call REM atonia, and that's A-T-O-N-I-A, so REM atonia. And basically what REM atonia is it's in any organism that goes through a REM cycle or a REM sleep is in a suspended central homeostasis, and this allows large fluctuations in respiration. It allows thermoregulation and circulation, which is it does not occur at any other time during sleep or when you're awake. Only during this REM cycle do you experience REM atonia. So the body abruptly loses muscle tone. So the body, its muscles won't work, right? This keeps you from running into a wall or what have you. Okay, so there are two types that we know of sleep paralysis, okay? Now, I'm going to give you the medical terminology, and then I'm just going to blatantly give the third grade explanation to what it is, okay? So the first one is called hypnagogic, or another word that they use for hypnagogic is preterminal, which is a preterminal sleep paralysis. And that's when a person is falling asleep. The person remains aware when the body shuts down to go into that REM cycle. So they're completely aware that they're going to sleep and their body just stops working. Excuse me. The other kind of sleep paralysis is that first one we talked about at the beginning of the show, hyponotonic or post-orbital sleep paralysis. And this occurs when a person is waking up. So the person becomes aware of their surroundings before they're able to actually end the REM cycle. So you literally go into stage 5 of sleep, and then you just wake up. So the body hasn't been able to really come back from the paralysis that the brain has put you through so that you don't, I don't know, run a marathon that you're running in your dream. So why does this occur? There is so much research that is going on to why this occurs. And some people believe that it's certain neurons in the brain, it's certain chemicals and hormones that get produced. And there are studies that have been done in rats where they try to get these animals to have small micro movements in their sleep by inducing certain neurons and inducing certain hormones. But we have answers, but then sometimes we're like, oh, it's indefinitive because this occurred or that occurred. So let's try to understand like what sleep is. So sleep is the body's ability to regenerate, right? So when you wake up, you should feel refreshed, you should feel re-energized, you should be good. But that means you've gone through a complete sleep cycle, and you have gone through a healthy sleep cycle. So you're continuing to go through all 5 stages of sleep throughout the night. And we do all 5 stages between 4 and 5 times a night. So you should be good. But with sleep paralysis, usually with someone who has an altered sleep pattern or they have an altered sleep hygiene, they usually have issues waking up during sleep. If anybody has ever had a sleep study done, I had one done about 5 years ago. I had really bad insomnia. Now, I've deployed to Iraq, and I've had terrible sleep since I got back. Just terrible, terrible sleep. And the sleep study showed that I woke up some 900 times in a night, which is not normal by any means, but it means I was jumping out of my sleep cycle. So what are the stages of sleep? So what are the sleep cycles? So stage 1, that's like our relaxation. That's that like fuzzy daydreaming kind of feeling. You're going to full relaxation. You're getting ready to go to bed. You start seeing small movies going on in your head, but you're not actually asleep. That is that first stage. And then you go into that second stage. The second stage lasts about 20 minutes, and the brain begins to produce short periods of fast rhythmic brain waves known as sleep spindles, okay? And the body begins to lower temperature and heart rate, and it begins to slow everything down, all right? And at this point, you should be completely relaxed, almost at a dead state, okay? And then you enter into stage 3, and that stage 3 is called deep sleep. And in deep sleep, we produce slow waves, slow delta waves, and they begin to show during this stage, like the brain starts to play and spark up, okay? This is a transition sleep. So this is our transition between light sleep, where we're having these tiny daydreams, and our temperature's going down and our body is slowing down, and that's light sleep. And we start veering into deep sleep, and that takes us into stage four. And stage four is a deep sleep. That's delta sleep. And they call that delta sleep because we produce high amounts of delta waves in our brain at this point, okay? And delta, stage four, delta sleep, lasts about 30 minutes. And during the end of this stage, so if you've ever sleptwalked or you've accidentally peed the bed or you've had unusual things happen, like you've punched somebody or you've kicked somebody or you find yourself standing in a room, you've completely sat up out of bed, that happens at the end of stage four. So as you're coming out of stage four, all these weird things can occur, okay? And then you enter from stage four, you go right back into stage two and three, and then you drop into stage five. It's what we call REM, and that's that rapid eye movement sleep. And most dreams occur during REM sleep. That's where our nightmares are generated. That's where our happy dreams are generated. That's where our erotic dreams are generated. Okay, and there's an increase in respiration, and there's an increase in brain activity. And this is also known as the paradoxical sleep. And it's due to the muscle paralysis, that muscle paralysis. So when you wake up completely not even going through your other REM cycles and going through your other sleep cycles, and you just wake up, you're still paralyzed. So that's the medical terminology, or the medical, we'll call it, explanation to what sleep paralysis is. But that doesn't sound as cool or as far as scary as what we think sleep paralysis is, right? Because from the beginning of time, we have had documentation of people experiencing sleep paralysis. Well, at least since the beginning of what we know medical time is, because before that it was demons. It was, everything was demons. You had the flu, you've got a demon in you, and you've got to have it exercised. So who knows what they thought at this point with sleep paralysis. Some people believe sleep paralysis is the body is completely empty of its soul, and the soul is traveling. We call that astral projecting. And the soul hasn't returned, so the body can't move. Are you there with us, Lisa?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I hear rumbling. Yes, I can hear you just fine. I heard some rumbling.
Oh, perfect.
Listeners, Lisa is on with us. I'm going to remind you again, if you want to call in and give us some information or experiences that you've had, or if you know of any medical terms or medical explanations that you've researched in the past of why sleep paralysis occurs, please give us a call. The number is 515-605-9328. Again, that's 515-605-9328. Okay.
Yes,
so, Lisa,
we do have chat also open if anybody wants to join.
Oh, and we do have
the
chat.
Yeah, I was listening
so Lisa,
to you
going, I was just
from
going through some medical. Yeah, I was just going through some medical explanations to what sleep paralysis is and how it can occur. But no one listens to our show for that. So,
right?
I know. And that's why we call it U.S. paranormal and not U.S. medical. This isn't Grey's Anatomy.
that's funny. That's quite true.
So let's talk about some.
You do have those folklores. You do have those myths and stuff. I mean, everything like you mentioned, from demons to alien abductions, and I mean, from culture to culture. You know, you see a shadow, a shape. I mean, people report being pinned to their bed. They can't move. They hear whispers. I mean, what explain the sleep paralysis when you hear these things like the buzzing, the sound, the whooshing, the being drugged, not being able to cry out. Some of that can be quite terrifying, and not just sleep paralysis,
yeah,
but they call it awareness during.
Can you imagine if you wake up and you can't move and you hear this?
Perfect sound effect for that one. I didn't even hear it. That was coming. That's great. And they, you know, obviously,
yeah,
like you said, paralysis is essential, you know, an essential part of the REM sleep. And you're in that slumber and that your conscious phase, but I mean, there's many psychologists, like there's one, James Shine, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, it's C-H-E-Y-E, you know, I pronounce everything wrong, a psychologist out of the University of Waterloo who has been doing studies. There's many that are just kind of opening up the doors to all these, I guess you would call it cultural beliefs across the globe. And then you mentioned the prominence of it, and up to 40% of people experience the sleep paralysis at least 1 to 2 times in their life. But usually they dismiss it as something terrifying, a bad dream, and up to 6% report multiple episodes over periods. So that makes me wonder if it's over these extended periods and beyond the REM, then what is it? Is there something more to it?
What if I don't know if our listeners know, and I think we've talked about it before in a previous episode. And I think, matter of fact, I think it was one of the episodes we did on astral projection, but my mother astral projects.
Yeah,
she just does it randomly. Yeah, and she does it randomly. And like the last time I remember her doing it where I saw her, I was living in Germany and she just showed up in my room. And my roommate was freaking out because there was this Indian woman sitting in our room. But there was one occurrence that she had where she woke up and she experienced sleep paralysis. It was like she was being held down and she was completely aware of everything that was going on around her, and then she felt a heaviness, and then she could get up again. So she thinks that maybe she was traveling, and she wasn't back yet, and her soul or energy or aura, whatever you want to call it, was preventing her from moving so she wouldn't get lost trying to find her way back.
Yeah. So she's had these occurrences more than once.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder.
And now, it's so funny because now she'll wake up and she'll lay there for 30 seconds before even trying to move.
It's just more prone, like a hereditary, you know, with psychics and mediums and things, you know, and with the study of the doppelgangers and, you know, if they're, are they ambidextrous? Are they with their sign, you know, these kind of things? What they all have in common? Some of these more severe cases that I would kind of wonder, is it really just REM or is it something else?
Well, I think we all like to explain things in a physical aspect, right? There has to be a reason. There has to be an answer. And I mean, generally, I mean, like what we talked about at the beginning, I just wanted to get that out of the way because I know that there are people out there who are listening who are like, oh, well, it's a physical thing. It's something that isn't paranormal. It's actually happening. But we know what's occurring. Physically, medically, we know what's occurring. But that's it. We can't explain why it occurs. We can have ideas of why it may occur or what could cause occurrences of sleep paralysis. But we don't actually know what causes it. We don't know why it happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, to me, that's not an easy thing.
And so and tactile and
right, and each person experiences it just a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, and
to me,
I mean,
that's
even,
not an answer.
What's that?
I said, and to me, it's not an answer. That is not an answer. I mean, we know physically what it does to the body. We know what occurs while it's happening. We have names for it. We have procedures of why. We have ideas of what may induce it. But that is not an answer. That's not
but
an answer.
We need more of these researchers to, you know. And I think, you know,
right.
I mean, that's what it takes is these people. And that's part of why, like, I chose the subject that I did. And I think there's so many paranormal subjects that need research. But you have to get the premises behind it. Like mine, yeah, obviously I've turned it into a book. But you have to start it out on the premises of research. Because you don't want false, you know, people seeking attention or the wrong, you know, you want accurate, non-biased results. But I mean, you know, if you look back in time, I mean, look at all the movies that, I mean, historically, the movies and books and stuff like Moby Dick talks about it, the supernatural hands, and that's in 1851. I mean, everything, the painting from 1781, with a woman laying on her back and a demon on her chest and, you know, lurking around. And I mean, it's certainly not anything new. And when it goes back that far, I mean, that just adds even more mystery behind it.
Yeah, and you know, there are artists who have actually painted what they felt into picture form, you know what I'm saying? And it's quite scary.
Like, there's a Henry Fuseli, it's called The Nightmare. The one with the woman with laying on her back with a demon on her chest. I mean, sounds like a nightmare. I think I've seen the picture, actually, but I don't recall it looking pleasant either.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, I've seen some where there's these dark, spidery, lanky creatures hovering over beds, and, you know, others I've seen painted like they were in water and they were unable to move. One was a bed in the field where it was broken in half and they were stuck in a hole. I mean, I've seen all kinds of art where it depicts these, and they're none of them are nice. None of them are really sweet.
Yeah, right? It's not your
they're
grandma
all,
giving
you a hug. Yeah, they're all real dark. They're all real scary. They're just very horrific. I've seen one where the body was on the bed and it was like their soul was being pulled out.
It's kind of interesting how, like, from country to country, there's some consistency. Like in European countries, it's typically like a female horse who's typically to prey on sleepers at night and them down and riding upon their chest, so, you know, as a whole. And then, you know, I mean, it's France, it's Germany, it's Scandinavian countries like Denmark, and there's Iceland, and I mean, they all have their own different nightmares, the word translates to in most of those countries.
I don't know. I've actually never experienced it myself. I mean, I've never experienced it myself. We have a new, and I wish she was on, but we have a new member to USP. Her name is Brooke, and it's Star's daughter, and she actually has experienced sleep paralysis several times. And
Has she explained it to you or described it?
And that's why I wish she was on with us tonight, because, I mean, that firsthand experience would be really cool to hear from. I've never experienced sleep paralysis, or at least I don't remember having ever experienced sleep paralysis, because there are two types of sleep paralysis, and I don't know if you were on when I talked about that, but there are two types of sleep paralysis that deal in the REM atonia. And the first one is the hypnagogic preterminal sleep paralysis, and that's the one that occurs while falling asleep. And that's not as common, but it still occurs. And that's one where the body is slipping into a REM sleep while you're still conscious, like while you're still aware of it. And then the other one is that hypnoponic or post-orbital sleep paralysis, and that's the one that's most common. That's the one where people are waking up and they're unable to move. So, I mean, it's really interesting, but I've never experienced it, or at least I don't ever remember having experienced it.
Well, and I wouldn't necessarily think, I would think more, I don't know how much it ties into the PTSD, but I would think more coming from that aspect that you would have experienced it on the medical
but
side
I
of things.
So I experience something different. I experience lucid dreaming and what is the other one? They're night terrors, but it's where I'm awake, but my dreams are still occurring while I'm awake. But that's not sleep paralysis, because I'm moving while this is happening. Like, I'll get up. There was a one instance where my family found me in the middle of the living room and I was just crying. But that's not sleep paralysis, and that is directly tied to the PTSD. But I don't remember ever experiencing, and like I said, I could have, I just don't remember, because I experienced such vivid dreams and my night terrors and that lucid dreaming where I'm completely engulfed. I don't know if it's the lucid dreaming I'm talking about. I'll have to figure it out. I'll let you know. But I'm actually awake while I'm dreaming, and that's something completely different.
Well, I messaged Brooklyn to see if she was available, and she said she may possibly be able to call in a bit. So she may give us a shout with her story, which would definitely be interesting. Also, you know, lots of, well, I had mentioned Moby Dick, and there's other tales of, like, you know, being choked and sat, and that's terrible. But Newfoundland, they have this old, they call it an old hag, a witch, to assault sleepers mm-hmm. and leave them unable to cry out. And that tradition is ingrained in sleepers and leaves them just in fear of this old hag that persists to this day. And that was actually written into a book in 1989 by David Hufford. And that book was called The Terror That Comes in the Night. That's quite interesting. The stories just go on and on, you know, from culture and the ancient Greeks. I mean, we're talking Greeks way back. I bet they had in the caves, you know how they did the little scriptures. I bet they had something on their stones in there about pinned down. I mean, that's all they had to go by back then. They didn't have the science and the medicine that they did now anyway.
Right, but even now we can't explain it. Not to a full extent. We understand
true.
The science behind what occurs during the event, but we can't explain why.
I know, it's almost like full circle. You know, you start out not fully understanding and only going off of what you have, and then you get science and you can kind of explain it, and you really can't, and then you start to ask more questions.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, the sleep paralysis is, it's so scary that it's just horror movie gold, right? There's three movies that I found. Mara, which was came out in 2018, about a young woman who suffers sleep paralysis, but she suffers it like a narcolepsy kind of thing, in the bathtub, in bed. There's another movie that came out in 2015 called The Nightmare. The following year, another one came out called Dead Awake. I mean, and they're all scary stuff. They're horror movies. It's not because of these medical explanations. There's these haggish demon women that are haunting them, torturing them, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And there's a Japanese folklore. And then there's other scholars too. I ran across a Christopher French who is looking into the UFO abduction side of things and alien encounters, and feels like there's many incidents of sleep paralysis that are related to that. And he's out of the UK at Goldsmiths University. And so that would be interesting to talk to someone from MUFON. I used to have a connection from a guy out of Michigan with MUFON that I interviewed years ago. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, any correlation there and how much he hears about sleep paralysis during these abductions. For reported abduction.
Yeah, that's definitely something that would be cool to look into.
Because, I mean, they report because there's the pressure and the pain and the presence of the intruder, and then obviously there are some that report sexual encounters with alien abduction, the disassociation from their body, the strange lights, the sound, you know, all the typical portrayals, you know, somatic portrayals of aliens as a temptation.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the things that occurs scientifically during sleep paralysis is hallucinations. And it's not uncommon for hallucinations to occur.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would it be a hallucination, or are you actually seeing something there?
Okay. But look at schizophrenia. How many people are diagnosed with schizophrenia that also have medium type abilities? There's that crossover, you know what I mean? I don't know if you've read up on that, how a lot of people
are misdiagnosed. Schizophrenia and mediums?
They're misdiagnosed as schizophrenic, but they're not. That hallucinations aren't actual hallucinations. They're actually, you know, experiencing, seeing, hearing, whatever their ability may be. So how many people are being diagnosed as hallucinations when they're not?
I don't know, because schizophrenia is a condition of perception, right? Between the understanding of withdrawal from reality and personal relationships into fantasy and delusion. And it's sort of a mental fragmentation, right? And most of the stuff that the schizophrenics go through is very contradictory. So, what article are you talking about that is correlating schizophrenics to that?
It's been a long time since I've read on it. But it's interesting because I was thinking, either you can verify information or you can't, you know? I mean,
right.
And that's where the difference, because when I was, you know, seeing someone for my anxiety and stuff, and they found out about the paranormal and the show, and my biggest fear is, I'm going to be labeled crazy. You know, I'm going to put the doctor crazy.
People do that to me all the time. they tell me, that's why I just don't tell people anymore.
Yeah.
It's not about the show, but about me.
Previous member that would go around announcing it to everyone. You know what we do? It's like,
yeah, it's not to work. People don't need to think I'm crazy.
I know. Well, and I love Sheila. I give a shout out to Sheila. I love Sheila to death. But we're out.
Sheila Gay?
So we're
I love Sheila Gay. Sheila Gay, I love you.
I know. She had this guy like in tears at the bar. So we went out to this investigation in Arkansas, and we're on our way or on our way back. No, we were on our way there, and we stopped to eat. And he's like, what are you in town for? What are you guys doing? And she's like, we're paranormal investigating. We're heading out to investigate. She says it like she is. Right in the middle bar, you know, right. It was like a Chili's, I think. And of course, you know, everybody kind of looks, and I'm just like, that's where we're going. You know, I'm not as out there, I guess. Sheila doesn't care. She's like,
well, the moment you start telling people you see dead people, then they start questioning your sanity.
Yeah, I can see why that might be.
Or they'll say, can you talk to my dead grandma? No.
I'm going to look real quick and just see if Brooklyn had messaged us back. She was having some phone issues, but I had to reply. Let's see if I had. It was mostly like books are just culture to culture, you know, the myths and stuff that we had touched on. Oh, yeah, there's that wonderful picture of the demon sitting on the body. Lovely. So Henry's FBLI is a nightmare. Wonderful painting for the living room. I should keep people away. I don't know that I have much more to add to that.
I don't think I do either.
To Brazil and the cultures. What is next week's topic, too, by the way? I was going to look that up. Today is the 17th. So we have been on our plan. I don't know if Brown's are available, and maybe Bookie can join us. The Ghostly Usher of Corpus Christi Center Theater. That may change. We'll look and see. I want to make sure, obviously, we have tons of data on it. And then after that, we have Martha Light. What is Martha Light? And those are basically the Route 67, you know, the lights that we're seeing off of in Marshall, Texas, it's for the city there. UFOs or ghosts, they say ghosts, but more UFOs. So, Marshall Lights is called the mountain. And looking at a few guests coming up, and there is a guest that I did want to mention, and I actually bought her book. It will be October 14th. It will be going to the fall. We're going to have a guest, Becky on. Have you heard of the Goatman's Bridge, Aaron? It's in Texas here.
Yeah, I've heard of Goatman's Bridge.
So she'll be on. She wrote a book about it. It's actually a really good book. I'm almost halfway through it. I've been to Goatman's, and I've actually been to the house. The property. I don't know if it was demolished or burned down after the dad was killed from the bridge, and then the family killed. But she'll be coming on, and we're working on some other guests, getting a few others on. This is an episode of A Haunted Lighthouse, the Confederate Soldier, the bridge. And also, I don't know if we did astral projection in the past, because I've got that slated for August 26th, astral projection remote viewing.
Well, then we're going to do it in August.
Chuck Kennedy said he would love to come on for this one because he does teach remote viewing, you know, basically kind of like he did the KGB back years ago and the office. He's kind of a wealth of knowledge, so he would be good to bring on either the first half or second half. So yeah, we've got a lot of good topics coming up. For sure. And I guess since Brooke has not gotten back with us on her story, maybe she can give us that story at the beginning of the next episode before we get started. It'd be interesting to hear for sure.
Yeah, just a firsthand account.
Yeah. I mean, I have not had any myself, just visitation, but not paralysis, but that was just visitation from someone that had passed.
Yeah, and that occurs to me nightly.
Yeah. I meant like from family, not just random dead, but well, ex-boyfriend in high school, but I wasn't necessarily referring to the dead. Like, I mean, obviously, Megan, I watched the whispers in the ears and the annoying stuff, but not like you do. But okay, well, I think. Do you want to call it a wrap for tonight?
Let's close it up. Want to thank you guys. Well, yeah, totally. Thank you all for toning in. If you have
toning
any comments,
in.
Please toning in. Got North Carolina coming out on me. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any comments, feel free to reach out to us. If you have show ideas, feel free to reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook at US Paranormal or USP. You can even message us here. If you do call the 515-605-9328 during the show, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes. I do want to mention, there's a option for the host pen or host queue. You'll want to hit that option so that it routes it to us so that we can pull you through. And then also, if you have show topics, we are working on next season, getting a list together, and I'm going to put a list out because I'll be out promoting my book probably in the fall, going into the spring. So definitely send us any and all show topics you want to hear about for next season because we are getting started now.
Yeah.
With that, I'm going to send us on out. See you next week.